You have your Bibles, I would like to direct your attention to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. And we're also going to read out of the book of Mark, chapter number 2. I'll apologize ahead of time for reading several scriptures this morning at the onset, but I want to do that to help lay the foundation for where I feel that the Lord would have us to go. The book of Luke, chapter number 5. We're going to begin at verse number 17. The word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem." And notice this right here. It says, "And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed and a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus." Now I want to go to Mark chapter number 2. I want to begin at verse number 1, and the Lord says, "And it came, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was not room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached a word unto them, and they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let him down, or they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.'" This morning, for just a little while, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach to us from this thought: don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Would you ask the Lord to help us this morning? God, we love you. I'm thankful, Lord, for your presence and the anointing that I feel in this house. And I'm asking today, God, that you would help me, that you would anoint my mind, that you would anoint my mouth, that you would direct me, God. I ask that you would anoint my heart so I would be sensitive to the direction that you want to flow and move in this house. God, I'm asking that you would touch us today. God, that when we leave here, it will not be that my words that have echoed in this room, but it will be that you have moved and spoken to us and that you have had your way. I bind every hindrance to the work of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I take authority and dominion over it right now in Jesus' name, and I forbid it to operate in this atmosphere in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that you would touch us, that your word would go forth and that it would accomplish what you desire in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I don't have a very deep thought today. I don't have anything that's probably going to be earth-shattering. But I do have something that gripped my heart and has been on my mind of late the last several days. The two passages of Scripture that I've read to you today both describe the same moment in time. It was at the moment that four men brought a man who was sick of the palsy to Jesus. It's mentioned in all three out of the four Gospels. Matthew recalls it. Simply a very brief description, if you will, of what happens. He talks about the man being let down and them touching, or him being healed and restored, and just kind of brushes on. But Mark and Luke, they give us a little bit more insight to what takes place during the working of this miracle. They begin to kind of shed a little bit of light. They begin to build a little bit more of a foundation, and they give us a peek as to what took place in this moment in time. For Mark would record that they were in Capernaum, that they had been there some days. Luke writes that on this particular day that there were present doctors of the law and Pharisees, that there were men from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And they were there, and they were there to hear the word of the Lord. They record that both of them record that the house was filled with a multitude of people, and that there was not room. Luke records that there was no room to come into the house. Mark takes it a step further and says that you couldn't even get so much as about the doorway of the house for the press of the multitude. They both record that on this particular day, there were many, many souls that were placed in this house, and that Jesus was ministering to them, and he was talking. And Luke records that the presence or the power of the Lord was present to heal them, plural. Not singular, but he says that there was enough power and enough glory that the God was there to heal all of them. That God was able to do, and he wanted to do a great work in that atmosphere. And Mark goes on, Mark records that when the multitude heard that Jesus was in the house, that they came and they packed the place out. Notice both writers record that Jesus was there. One of them records that Jesus was there, and he was there to heal and to do mighty works, that there was the power of God was present to heal. Luke records that when it was noised that he was in the house, that a great multitude gathered together, and they all came to hear Jesus. But the question that I have that has plagued me is why, if they were there and the presence of God was there, why was there only one man that got what he needed? You have the power of God in the house. You have it noised that he is in the house. Yet you only have one man that takes advantage of the opportunity and comes in contact with Jesus. How does that happen? How can you be in such close proximity to the glory and the majesty and the power of Almighty God, and there's not but one life that's touched? Not but one soul that's ministered to. How does that happen? Ladies and gentlemen, I'll submit to you this morning. It happened because there were people who missed their moment. I love it when the presence of God comes into the house. I love it when we gather together and the power of God, you can feel the glory when you begin to magnify and exalt and lift up the name. There's nothing like coming in and saying, you know what? His presence is here. His power is here. His glory is here. There are services when you and I come in and you can literally feel his presence, and it's so close that it feels tangible. It's so powerful that it just stirs your heart. And we look at one another and we'll say, wow, the Lord is here. The glory is here. The power is here. But how many times have we missed our moment? And his glory was here. His power was here. We were here with our needs. But I missed my moment. I missed the opportunity that I had to come in contact with his glory. We've gathered here this morning. I felt his presence as we began to sing and we began to magnify and we began to worship. He's here. He's here. We're here gathered together. But my question is, are we going to miss our moment? Are we going to miss the opportunity? There are two dynamics that are at play here. You have a man who's sick, and you have four friends. And I hope that in the next little while that I can break down those two dynamics. For you see, you have a man who is in need of a miracle. You have a man who is in need of something from God. He has a situation and a need that must be met. And he gets to the service by quite a unique mode of transportation. He has four men that are willing to carry him and get him to where the master is. They bring him to where Jesus is. There's just one small problem. When you have to carry the load and the burden, many times you come in just a little behind everybody else. And so when they get there, if you will, I'm just going to put it in kind of church terms. When they get there, church is already happening. When they get there, the presence of the Lord is already there. There are people that are already excited, and they've packed the house out. And if you will, they're just having their worship service. They're going along, and they're having church. And these four men look at one another and they say, we have a friend who has a need. And the guy that has the need says, perhaps in his mind, oh my goodness, I need to see Jesus. I've got to come in contact with him, but there's no way to get to him. There's no way for me to get in contact with him. There's no way I can come into his presence. Oh, I'm here. I'm in the service. I'm involved. I'm a part of it. But to get to where the glory is and to get to where God, I just don't know that I can make the trip. I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can get to where the Lord is. That was probably running through this man's mind, this crippled man laying on a bed. How in the world am I ever going to get what I need, because I have not got the ability to get to where God is. I don't have the ability to get to where he's at. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people that come to church and sit on pews that feel like there is no way that they're ever going to find the glory, that they're ever going to make their way back to a place of restoration, that they're ever going to get what they need, because they're so crippled and they're so bound by their situation. They feel like it's hopeless. And while I'm here, I still am never going to be able to get to where the glory is. Well, they sit on pews. They watch as the service unfolds. They see you glorify and magnify and exalt the Lord. They hear that he's in the house. They know that his presence is here. But somehow getting to him seems impossible. I've come today to preach to somebody who feels like it's impossible to get back to restoration, that it feels like it's impossible to ever get free, that feels like it's impossible to ever get to the place where you can actually be born again and experience his glory and what it's like to have a new birth experience. Friend, I've come to tell you, you're not too far gone. You're not too far out there. It's not hopeless. It's not impossible. You may seem and feel like it is, but hear me today. He is here, and if you want to get to him, he is available. I don't know that I can make that trip. I don't know that I have what it takes to get up from my pew and make it to an altar, because you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've struggled with. And you don't know the plight of my situation. You have no idea the inner workings and the problems and the mistakes and the mess ups and everything else that I'm dealing with. You have no idea. You can't comprehend it, because you sit on a pew and you worship and you magnify and you experience what I want to experience. But I'm crippled and I'm lame, and there's no way that I can get to where he is. But the Bible says that there were four men that brought him. There were four men. And they looked at the crowd. They looked at the multitude. And they made up in their minds, we did not bring him here. We haven't spoken faith into this situation. Perhaps they had encouraged him to go to Jesus. Maybe it took a little something to get him up and get him on his bed and to pick him up on that litter and to make their way to where Jesus is. Maybe they had to tell him, when you get there, you're going to walk out. You're going to be a brand new person. You're going to be a changed individual. Maybe they had built his faith. And now, all of a sudden, when he's faltering and he's at a place where he's like, it will never happen. It's never going to change. It's never going to turn. There were four men that said, you know what? Wait a minute. There is going to be something that's going to happen. This is going to be a new day. This is going to be the dawning of a new era in your life. I've got enough faith that says, I'll get you to where Jesus is. Let me just get down to where the rubber meets the road. There are people outside of these walls and perhaps on a pew this morning, and you feel like there's no way that you're ever going to get what you need, that you're ever going to find what you need. I've come today to tell you there are some people in this house that have enough faith that when you're faltering and you're wondering, do I have what it takes and will it happen? There are some people that will come alongside you and say, I've got enough faith to believe I can get you to where he is. Many times we make getting to the master a journey of one. That the word goes forth and you're going to get up and you're going to make your way to an altar. I'm not taking anything away from that. But there are times and there are situations where people have been so crippled by their past. They've been so crippled by where they've been that they don't have what it takes to get up from a pew and make it to an altar. And it's at that moment that the church has got to come alongside of them and say, you know what? It doesn't matter what it looks like. It don't matter where you're at. You're not too far gone. You're not a castaway. You're not forsaken. But today is going to be your day. And I'm going to come alongside you. And I'm going to help you. And I'm going to help carry you and usher you to the foot of the cross. I'm going to help get you to where the master is. If you're here today and you're that lame man and you're like that man paralyzed by fear, paralyzed with a condition, perhaps it's your past, perhaps it's sickness. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're facing, but you hear me. There's a group of people here. They're not here to judge you. They're not here to look down their nose at you, but we want to come alongside you and in love say, whatever it takes, I'm going to help you succeed. I'm going to help you make it. I'm going to help you break through. I'm going to help you find what you're looking for. Four men looked the situation over. Apparently, folks were so involved in what was happening that you couldn't just tap them on the shoulder and say, excuse me, we have a man here that needs something. We need to bring him through. He can't miss his moment. This may be the only time that he has to come in contact with a master. This may be the only time in his life that he's going to be this close to Jesus. Please let us through. I have to believe that they had to have tried that because they're human. And we like to take the easy way out. I don't want to tear the roof off the house. I want the crowd to part so I can carry the man in there and lay him at the feet of Jesus and say, here he is. But they couldn't get through to where Jesus was. So they came up with a plan. They get up on top of the roof, and I know this is elementary, but they began to tear the tile off the roof. They began to do something that no one else had done. They began to expand the church from the inside. They went and they said, you know what? We're going to take it from the inside and we're going to bring it to the outside. I'm going to tear the roof off of it. I'm going to make it accessible for those that are hurting and those that are in pain and those that are in need. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's you, if you're the hurting one, if you're the one that's crippled, listen to what I'm saying. You're in a church that is not bound by four walls, but we're wanting to take the lid off this thing and tear the roof off so that what's on the inside can make its way to the outside. They tear the roof off and they lower the man down at the feet of Jesus. And when he saw the sick man's faith, when he saw the faith of the four that let him down, he looked at the man and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And when he began to do a work, it began to ruffle the feathers of the religious elite that were there, because it wasn't happening like they thought it should happen. It wasn't taking place quite like they thought it should happen. Oh, they didn't mind the man getting healed, but being forgiven of sin and things being changed, that began to stir up some feathers, and that began to ruffle some men whose hearts were carnal and whose minds were not right, and they just wanted to trip the master up. They began to take issue with what was taking place. Honey, hear me right now. If that man was ever going to walk, it was going to be because four men had enough faith that said, I'll do whatever it takes to get him to Jesus. And if there's going to be some lives changed in Arkadelphia, it's going to be because a church comes along beside some hurting people and says, I'll do whatever it takes to get you in contact with the healer. I just don't want to miss my moment. There were two moments in time that were taking place. One was for the man that was going to be healed. This was his moment. But there was also a moment in time for the four. If there was ever going to be a chance and an hour and a time that they could get access into the presence of God with this hurting man, it was now. Not next week, not the next time he come, but there were two moments in time that were coinciding at the same time. There were the four that had enough faith to get him there and were encouraging and pushing. And there was also the moment for the man that said, you know what? If I'm ever going to be changed, it's got to happen now. Hear me today, church. Hear me today, church. There is a moment that's taking place for hurting people right now. And the moment for revival and harvest is intersecting right now. And if we're going to move and we're going to see it happen, it has to happen now. Not next month, not next week, not next year. Backsliders need to come home now. We need to see revival now. It has to happen now. Don't miss your moment. While he's here, if you got to look to the person, we're going to draw two categories. If you're the soul I'm preaching to this morning that's hurt, what's wrong with you linking yourself up to the person beside you and saying, hey, you know what? I need a breakthrough. I need to get somewhere in God. I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle in my family. Would you just come alongside me? And would you just help me get to the presence of God? Would you just lead me? Would you help me? Would you help me get there? You don't have to necessarily find an altar. You can have an altar right where you're sitting. Let somebody come alongside you with some faith that says, you know what? Today is your day. I'm not leaving here on Sunday morning till you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving here till you're delivered. I'm not leaving here till you have a breakthrough. We're getting ready to enter into some uncharted waters. We're getting ready to step into an outreach program that ministers to hurting people. It reaches for the lost. But there's going to be two moments in time that come together. One for the church, and one for the hurting and the lost soul. And we've got to make sure that we don't miss our moment. That we don't lose our moment. That we don't miss out on what God is wanting to do. Revival's not coming. Revival and harvest is not down the road. It's here now. It's here now. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, look under the field, for it's already white for harvest. It's already ready to be reaped. It's already time for somebody to get in the field and take a sickle and begin to help and begin to bring in a harvest. I don't say this bragging. Not saying it to sound like I'm somebody, because I'm nothing. But Jeremy, I was at a football game Friday night. Wesley was going to be marching. So I made my way there. I bought one of the worst hamburgers I've ever eaten in my life from the concession stand. That didn't satisfy me, so I thought I'd try the nachos. They weren't much better. I was watching. You know, people are funny. I'm just going to be honest. I like watching people. You want to see the true nature of people, you get them in an atmosphere where of something they enjoy. I sat next to a fella a few rows down from a guy that was the ultimate high school football fan. He had a cowbell. I promise you, the end of that thing looked that long. He would get that thing. He was making as much noise as he could. He was calling the refs out if they made a call that he didn't like. He didn't care who saw him. He was into it. My son's team began to score some points, his high school. And son, the worship that took place in those stands. I'm talking about they were giving it this number. They had the drums rocking. They had the instruments playing. They had people that were getting down. And in the middle of all that, I made my way down the concrete walkway there. And I come face to face with a man who was a backslider. I stopped and I began to talk to him. We began to have a conversation. Wesley, I owe you an apology. I didn't catch anything that happened in the second half because I was busy with my friend. We began to talk about church. The backslider, he'd been wounded. But he told me, he said, you know, I remember the first time I ever came to the church and met you. He said, I had taken some drugs that had messed me up. They had affected me so bad. He said, I thought I was dying. He began to tell the story, and I remembered it. It was on a Wednesday night. They came and pulled me out where I was sitting. They said, hey, we got a guy out here that's messed up on drugs. He needs prayer. I walk out there. There he is, cold sweat, clammy. I did the only thing that I knew to do, Brother Carpenter. We're going to pray. I laid hands on him and I began to pray for him. And when I got done, I stepped back and I said, how do you feel? He said, I don't feel anything. Faith builder. So I did the only thing that I knew to do. I said, we're going to pray again. I laid my hands on that man's head and I began to pray. And I promise you, he was cold sober when I quit through praying. The chills were gone. The clammy cold sweats were gone. He was absolutely fine and normal. And he told me a few nights ago, he said, I've not touched that stuff since that night. He said, but I've still got some wounds, and I've still got some hurts, and I've still got some problems. And I said, friend, let me tell you something. I know a safe place where you can go. I know a place where you can find help, and I'm not going to miss my moment. Brother Jeremy, he's coming with me. The first night that you open it up, he said, I'll be there. Honey, I want to see people restored. I want to see souls brought back. I want to see somebody get restoration and healing. And it's going to happen here. Not next month, not next year, but now. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You may feel crippled. Now's a good time for you to link up with somebody and say, you know what? I'm not going to miss my moment. Help me. Help me break through. Help me pray through. Help me reach through. Come on, somebody. If you're one of the four, it's time you get a little gumption in you, a little holy boldness, and say, you know what? I know a place. I know where I can take you. I know a presence that I can get you into that will change your life. I'm not going to miss my moment. This is our hour. This is our time. And it's now. If it's going to happen at all, it's got to happen now. Stand with me if you would, please. Musicians and singers, come quickly. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. I feel the anointing in this house right now. I don't know what category you fit in. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what you're facing. But we're fixing to tear the roof off in this place. I don't know. But I know one thing, he's here. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what you're fighting. Sinner, saint, I have no idea. But he's here. Oh, God. Eloboshai. I feel him in this house right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Come on, just reach to him right now. I feel him. Oh. Come on, there's a miracle in this house this morning. There's restoration in this house this morning. Come on, he sees the hurt. He sees the pain. He knows the fear. God, right now I'm asking that you would touch our hearts, that we would be sensitive to the direction that you want us to go as a church, that you would, God, open us right now, and that you would begin to stir us and move us. God, right now, for those that are needing a breakthrough, God, the ones that are hurting under the sound of my, I don't know who they are, God, but you do. By the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the flesh in Jesus' name. I take authority and dominion over flesh, and I'm asking, God, that the adversary would be bound, and God, that faith would begin to rise up in some hearts. They're going to sing as these altars are open. If you want to come to the altar, that's fine. If you just want to pray where you're at, that's fine. But why don't you just let the Lord minister in this place? If you feel and it's in order to go pray with somebody, don't embarrass them. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. But link yourself up to them and put an arm around them and just love them and pray for them and help them this morning. Come on. Come on. There's a moment that has to happen.